why don't kick back and get raw with us.
From the latest hip-hop beefs,
spazzles,
to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
And now your host, Rita.
Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I hope you guys are having a wonderful, wonderful week so far. So we are now in the month of May. We are 2 days in, and I feel like the year is just flying by. Next thing you know, it's going to be Christmas. But the good thing about May is it's spring. It's like that segue into summer. I mean, April, I don't know. May is here, but I'm still not sure if I'm going to get the weather that goes with May. Because April showers are supposed to bring May flowers, and there weren't a lot of April showers. So I'm hoping that doesn't mean that there are going to be a lot of May showers. I don't know. The way the weather has been acting up here in the NYC area, I'm not even sure if May is truly going to be May. So I'm a little apprehensive. However, we're in a new month. It's always great to be at the beginning of a new month. It's a new start for many people. A lot of people wait for the beginning of a new month to kind of restart whatever it is that they're trying to do. May is also the awareness month of many things. Before, I only knew May to be Mental Health Awareness Month, which we will be having at least a show or two dedicated to mental health awareness, as I often do. So definitely stay tuned for that. But May is also Lupus Awareness Month, as I learned yesterday. And I do have friends who have lupus, but for some reason, I thought Lupus Awareness Month was sometime in the fall. But for those of you who did not or who don't know, just like I did not know, May is Lupus Awareness Month as well. But May is also Haitian Heritage Month. So for all my Haitians out there, for all my Zoes out there, this is our month. Well, January is also our month. I don't know. But May is Haitian Heritage Month, so there's going to be a lot of activities going down in these streets. May 18th is Haitian Flag Day, so it's a big celebration for us. So if you are not Haitian, but you have Haitian friends, definitely gear yourself up for some celebration going on this month. So this week, we have a very special guest by the name of Hervé Delizier, who is going to talk a little bit about himself and talk about his business called Temple Essential. So I don't want to get too much into that right now, but definitely keep it locked as we will have the special guest on to talk about who he is, what he does for a living, etc. So before we get into the meat of the show, it is now time for our Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
May I have the definition?
What does skeet skeet mean?
What's on fleek?
Can you use it in a sentence?
Hopping on fleek, you lit.
And it's gonna be lit.
Major key.
It's time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
So this week's Urban Dictionary word of the week is abominate. Now, I've never heard anybody use this term before, but I feel like I've read about it sometime in the past. So, abominate means to eliminate, cut out, as if to surgically remove a person, friend, associate, or crony from one's life. Example, Barack had no choice but to abominate the insane cleric from his life. Now, I'm not really sure where they got that from. I mean, maybe I missed something over the last 8 years of Barack Obama's presidency, but I don't know what he's done to warrant, I don't know if this is an honor to be listed on Urban Dictionary. Oh, I mean, this sounds like a very... Well, it sounds like a negative definition, but I guess I can see the positivity in it, right? So it's kind of like, I guess if you have people in your life that are taking up space, that are, you know, that are not treating you right, that are acting up, then, you know, you need to eliminate them, cut them out, I guess. But I'm just trying to understand what was the moment that caused somebody to create this definition. I don't know what Obama must have done or could have done to warrant such a definition. I don't know. If you guys are aware, because I'm actually a little confused. I mean, I don't know. I know Obama's straight to the point, you know, but I don't know what he would have done to cause somebody to say, oh, we need to create a definition for him. So if you are aware, if you are privy, please send me an email at accordingtorp@gmail.com or slide up in my DMs on Instagram and Facebook at According to RP. So this week, the big up of the week is a bit interesting. So it's now time for the big up of the week. Watch it. When you feel big up, big up. All of the woman them big up, big up. All of the girl them big up, big up. All of the woman them big up, big up. Whoa. The big up of the week is a bit interesting. I'm not sure if this is really a big up of the week or... or a womp womp of the week. This is probably one of the very few times where I've been so confused. But either way, here it goes. So I'm not sure if any of you guys have been put on, but according to the New York Post, this situation took place, I guess, at the end of April, April 30th, maybe, or April 29th. But pretty much, so... there's a Domino's employee in Texas who was charged with attacking his coworker over an Avengers spoiler. Now, you guys know that not everybody enjoys a good spoiler. When we're talking about, you know, some of these TV shows, some of these movies that are coming out, people don't appreciate spoilers the way you think they do. Like me personally, I don't mind a spoiler because for whatever reason, even if I get a spoiler as I'm watching the movie or watching the show, it doesn't affect how I'm processing what I'm watching. It's almost as if you didn't tell me that there was a spoiler. In fact, I am one of those people who actually want spoilers. I want to know. I always want to know everything. It's part of my nature. But for the most part, people are not into spoilers, especially with movies that they've been anticipating for the last year or 2 years or whatever. And so the Endgame has been, you know, a much anticipated movie, much awaited movie. And so with things like that, you can't, like, people are waiting online to go watch this movie. And I heard reports of, you know, people stepping out of the movie theater and sharing spoilers. Like, that's crazy. That's something that might get you shot in the streets. It might get you attacked. Like, I'm not even shocked about all of this, to be very honest, because I know, I mean, I've seen some of the commentary on Endgame and people are taking it. People are serious about their Marvel. Marvel fans are serious about their movies. And so the police were called to the Friendswood restaurant early Sunday for a report of an assault. And this was reported by ABC 13. And an individual by the name of Justin Surface, age 33, was slapped with a citation for assault by contact after officers say he went after his coworker for revealing what happened in a Marvel's blockbuster superhero flick. So one of the customers were actually interviewed and he basically stated that this was hilarious. and that is just insane that somebody would, I guess, attack somebody over that. You would think so, sir, but it's not insane. It's not insane, as I'm coming to find out. And in Hong Kong, it looks like outside of one of the movie theaters, an individual shouted out the spoilers to Avengers fans waiting online. And so my thing is this. I, in no way, shape, or form, condone violence of any sort. It's not my place to do so. I'm not here to encourage people to possibly get arrested. That's not my thing. But what I will say, the reason that this was like a weird big up is because something has to be done. Like something has to be done. So this is not really a womp womp. This is more like this is a big up-ish circumstance where there is a lesson here. There is a lesson. Sometimes you have to look for the lessons in life. The lesson in life is stop spoiling movies. Stop spoiling shows. Unless somebody comes on and says, hey, listen, tell me what happened. And even then, you should still be reluctant. You should still be reluctant to give the spoiler. You have to give at least three are you sure's before you drop a spoiler. Like, you just have to. Because people's hearts, people's emotions, they cannot take it. They cannot take it. And one thing that I'm realizing, I understand social media, it's social, right? I've heard that comment before. If you don't want to know about a spoiler, get off social media. But I would dare say this. Keep your information to yourself. If you just came from the movie theater, you don't need to go to social media and like start posting all of the spoilers. That is not the platform for that. That is something you might want to engage in a closed Facebook private group where you have ascertained that everybody has already seen the movie. You may want to wait maybe a month or two, because by that time, if you haven't seen the movie, then you're not interested. And so if you get a spoiler at that point, that's on you. But you can't tell me the same day the movie comes out, you're out here dropping spoilers, right? I mean, you can't do that. And so a part of me feels like the coworker at Domino's, you know, although he was wrong for engaging in violence, I'm not even sure exactly what he did to the guy, but it was an attack. We don't know what the attack, I don't know what the attack was per se. But what I'm getting from all of this is, listen, we're out here protecting each other, right? We're our brother's keepers. This Domino's guy was like, listen, I'm going to take care of you here. You're my coworker. I'm going to take care of you here. Because if you go out in the streets, it might be worse for you. So at least take the beat down from me and learn the lesson here than to learn it in the streets. Maybe it's my skewed, maybe I'm skewed in my reasoning, but that's what I'm getting from this, because it just doesn't make any sense. So the moral of the story is, guys, don't go out here spoiling movies. In fact, I guess the womp womp of the week should have been the guy that spoiled the movie. I don't know. Either way, that's the big up of the week. Now, with every high, you guys know there is a low. And this week's low, it goes back out to the Pied Piper, R. Kelly, R. Kells, along with his legal team, though, because these people are out here thinking that we're just all stupid in these streets. And it just doesn't make any sense to me sometimes how people could really think that. I mean, I know that there are people out here that are not the brightest crayon in the box. They're not the sharpest pencil in the pencil case. But sometimes, you know, when you're here looking at these things and you're hearing these stories, you have to wonder, I mean, should I be insulted? Should I be offended? So basically, I know a lot of this was going on in the news for the last, I don't know, week, couple of weeks. The fact that R. Kelly did not show up to his civil sex abuse case, and therefore there were, I don't know if these, if there was an actual, I think there was a default judgment that was issued against him, but I don't know if he was jailed for that. But either way, there was some sort of consequence. But now the Pied Piper and his team of attorneys are out here letting us know that the reason that R. Kelly did not show up to his civil sex abuse case was because he cannot read, and the lawyers confirm. So I guess when they put lawyers confirm, that means we must believe with absolute certainty that this is what happened. I don't know. So I'm getting this story from the grapevine. I love theroot.com. Shout out to The Root. I try to get some of my news from there, as they are a Black-owned publication. So my thing is this. We understand that literacy in the Black community is a thing. Literacy amongst celebrities is a thing. I mean, Floyd Mayweather. I mean, you know, enough said. I don't know if I knew whether or not R. Kelly was illiterate. I don't think that was something I'm not really interested in his level of anything at this point. But they're trying to use this illiteracy angle for, you know, to justify why he did not show up to court. But the reason I'm not buying this, and the reason I'm like, this is like the one of the ultimate womp womps of the week, because it's like, are you serious? Do you know, you're insulting our intelligence, is that the Pied Piper has a team of attorneys, as I just stated. He has a team of attorneys. So if the Pied Piper cannot read the summons and complaints, if he cannot read this, whatever it was that was sent to him, his attorneys were not aware. His attorneys could not have called him and said, hey, R. Kelly, you have a court case coming up on X and X date. We will come pick you up. That couldn't happen. That didn't happen. Is that not what happened? I mean, I'm an attorney. And when, you know, when you're working for an agency, it may be a different story. But when you have clients, you are also, you're privy to their court dates. In fact, you might have been part of the process of securing a particular date. Like, it's a little hard for me to believe that these attorneys did not know of R. Kelly's civil sex abuse case, court hearing, to the point where they could not alert or remind the Pied Piper that he had a court date, that he needed to show up for his sex abuse case. The situation that's been in the news, plaguing the news, taking over the news, documentaries were made about your sex abuse situations. You're trying to tell me that nobody was privy to the date and could not call you? I understand you can't read. Nobody's sending you an email. Nobody's sending you a text. But you're telling me that nobody called? It doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't make any sense. They're going. I think the article goes on to say that The article basically goes on to say that, you know, he failed to appear at the hearing because he wasn't able to read. He could not confirm that he received it in the mail. Like, this doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't make any sense to me. Like, it just. But then, this is how I know they were, you know, full of it. But then, toward the end of the article, so this is saying on Friday, April 24th, R. Kelly reportedly wanted to fight the default judgment. So there was a default judgment placed against him for not showing up. And he was claiming he was too overwhelmed while being held in incarceration in connection with his child support case. Kelly's publicist reportedly told the Sun-Times on April 24th that the civil lawsuit was not a priority for his client. We don't care about the lawsuit, he told them at the time. The lawsuit means nothing to us. They're my friends, is the real reason that R. Kelly did not show up. Because he doesn't care. It's not a priority. He doesn't care. He has other things, other fish to fry. I.e. child support case and whatever else case that he's fighting. That's the real reason. It's not because he can't read. If he can't read, he can't read. But when you have money, you're paying people to read for you. I mean, when he was getting booked for his concerts and his contracts, I'm learning now that he wasn't reading these things. Somebody was reading them. How did he know to get on the tour bus? How did he know to, you know, that he had concerts lined up for him in San Francisco or in Texas? How did he know? These things come in writing. They're not always oral. So that's why I'm like, that was total BS. And so, like, I feel like this is almost bad lawyering. Like, I don't know. I feel like when people are making, like, such, I understand zealous advocacy, especially on the defense side. Sometimes you got to say what you got to say just to keep your client out, just to save face, whatever. But I feel like this is just like, I don't know. It's just so insulting to the general public that this is what you're going to tell us. Like, he couldn't read. And so that's why he didn't show up, because he doesn't have a team of lawyers and a team of assistants that could tell him, hey, Kels, you have a court case for the sex abuse case that you are currently fighting and the whole world knows about. It's so off. So that's why R. Kels, the Pied Piper, gets the womp womp of the week. All right, everyone, I'm here with my very special guest, Hervé Delizier. Hervé, say hello.
Hey, good evening. How y'all doing?
So, Hervé, you are the owner and founder of Temple Essentials. Is that correct?
That is correct. The one and only.
This is a health and beauty brand, right?
Yes.
All right,
yes.
Great. So a little bit of background, guys, on how I came to find Hervé. I went to my friend's book release launch. It was, when was it? It was a couple of months ago, right? Maybe about a month ago. It was like
March 31st.
I'm like, was it April? Was it March? Yes, it was at the end of March. Shout out to Shay Sinatus, who had her book release party, her launch party. And you were one of the vendors that were there.
I think
you were the only vendor that was there, right?
Yes, I was actually. I was privileged.
You were privileged. You were graced.
Right.
It's funny because when I was talking to her beforehand about the setup of the night, she was telling me that, yeah, she's going to have Hervé, table. And she was like, yeah, you know Hervé, right? And I feel like I knew you from before in the community because we're both Seventh-day Adventists. But I never knew you. Like, I knew of you, but I didn't really know who you were or what you did. So when she said you're going to be a vendor, I'm like, okay. Right. So tell us a little bit about who you are and what is this Temple Essentials business? What exactly is it?
All right. So I'm Hervé, of course. I'm definitely into health. I am a grad student. I'm currently taking classes at Queens College. I actually finished my coursework, so I'm ready to take this comprehensive exam and pass.
Blessings
but
to you.
I'm also I also went to aromatherapy school in the meantime as I'm waiting to take this exam in order to further my brand, which I'll tell you about in a little bit. So I started into this entrepreneurship lifestyle when I noticed that, you know, having a degree from undergrad wasn't just enough, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, cool. I got my degree. Here I come, world. And it was just like nobody was answering. And people were just like, oh, we took the person that had more qualification, that had more experience. And I'm like, wow, that's very interesting. You know, this whole time I thought it was you get this degree and then all the opportunities open up. But then I started, you know, meeting more people who are actually, you know, business owners themselves. And, you know, that scripture that says, you know, you walk with the wise, you become wise. And I was like, maybe I should try this. And that's where it kind of stemmed from in terms of becoming an entrepreneur and starting my own business. Now, the funny thing is of how I started this was due to actually an ex-girlfriend.
It's always a woman, isn't it? But continue. I just wanted to note that.
Shout out to my ex. You know, I'm not sure you're gonna hear this, but
are you guys still on good terms though? I mean,
no, we good. We cordial.
Aside. Okay, know? All right. Praise God. Praise God.
Ain't no bad blood. Ain't no bad blood. You know, So she used to make body butter, and when things were going like south in terms of like, you know, the relationship no longer being, you know, as, you know, fluffy and, you know, honeymoon time period. She started charging me for body butter. I'm like,
wait, what?
I was like, oh, okay, so this is where we're going. So after the whole separation, I was like, so can I still get that butter though? And she was like, think about it. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna make my own. So I started looking into it, and then I went to Canada because my family is from Canada, where they live there. And I started talking to my aunt about it. She's like, go for it, because she went to school for like product design and stuff like that. And she said, go for it, you know, all the resources that you need, I got you. And I was like, oh, that's what's up, praise God. And then I wasn't taking it as seriously as I needed to when I first started. And my aunt, she stripped all her resources from me. She was like, you know, I feel like an investor, but I don't want to be the one that wants it more than you do.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. And she's like, you know, as of right now, I'm no longer, partnering with you in terms of like this business. You're going to have to do it yourself. And for like a good couple of months, I was like, fine, I'll do it myself. You know, I'll just do it. And I realized, man, I really dropped the ball on this one. So I started taking it more seriously, and things started to pick up. And the aromatherapy school was more so a a way to enhance my brand. Because mm-hmm. I was reading books and stuff like that. I was, you know, doing my research on certain things. I had gotten my LLC. And I had gotten a bank account as well. So I felt like I was making progress. So I was like, man, I got to make sure my formulas and stuff like that, they're you know, pretty legit, because it's really a science to this. You know, if you mess up one thing, it could really damage the person that's using it. Mm-hmm. And, I was like, I want to learn the science behind, you know, the essential oils and butters and oils and how they actually work with the human body. Because I had some experiences where it wasn't too
wasn't too fun.
One experience was I'd use a cinnamon bark essential oil, not realizing that you can't use that topically because it's a dermal irritant and it'll irritate your skin pretty much. Mm-hmm. So I put like 15, 30 drops in, like in diluted still in some carrier oil, like some jojoba oil. Mm-hmm. And I put it on my hair because I wanted my hair to grow. And when I tell you 10 seconds in, I'm like, man, this oil is working because my head is on fire.
Oh, you thought it was like a tea tree oil effect?
Yeah, I thought it was, you did a good job. And then it came to a point where it was unbearable. So I literally had to rinse and like wash it out because I didn't realize I put too much of something that requires little. You know, mm-hmm. So those were the experiences that I was having that pushed me to take, you know, aromatherapy certification classes and stuff like that. So that's like kind of where I went, you know, previously in the year. And I'm glad I did because it really gave me the insight that I needed to take my brand to another level. So started from, you know, a woman, but, you know,
it's always a woman.
I took it, you know, the Most High definitely guided me, and I met people who were pretty, you know, wise and had wisdom pertaining to business. I went to entrepreneurship brunch mm-hmm. that was held in Brooklyn. Shout out to Lauren D, you know, KSB Brands. She orchestrated a entrepreneurship brunch, okay. And people like Mike O was on the panel. Seventh Scroll, my boy Mike and Joe, who are, you know, in herb school. So I work together with them sometimes because they have cooking schools. Who else? And some other brands like Sincerely KAJ, who does fashion, and another fashion designer. And they had some really good insight in terms of entrepreneurship. And learning from them, I kind of, you know, took my brand a little higher too. So as you may already have guessed, is a skincare and hair care brand.
Yes, and yes. I want to get into exactly what you do. So I do want to say, though, it's very interesting, you know, you go into, like, I guess the science behind it, because there are a lot of people out here just blending stuff together, yeah, making concoctions in their kitchen or in their bathroom and, like, selling it on the market. And so, yeah. And I don't find many who actually go in and talk about, you know, I guess the work that's really, I guess that really goes in, like the science, the skill that really needs to go into actually making these products. Usually people make it seem like they just, you know, I just beat this butter together and it was fine. I just mixed some oils together. But this is actually a science.
It's a legit science because, lemongrass is considered not to be applied to the skin because of its dermal irritant category, but that was one of my best selling scents before I went to Roma.
I love lemongrass.
When you put it together with lemongrass and ginger together, it mm-hmm. gives this beautiful aroma, but when applied to the skin, it's not considered something that you should do. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know that, you know, so it's just like those minor things that you think are okay tend to not be okay. Put in, like, there are things like blending factors, because whenever you want to make sure you put the right amount of each essential oil, because one, they're expensive, two, a little goes a long way. Mm-hmm. So for instance, if I were to put a ylang ylang, which is a very good scalp toner, if I was to put Ylang Ylang, I'd have to put, for every 7 drops of lavender, I would have to put like 1 drop of Ylang Ylang, because the scent of Ylang Ylang is so strong. So these are the things that people really need to pay attention to, because you can't just put, oh, I'm going to put like 10 drops of lavender and like 40 drops of like, you know, Ylang Ylang, just because, you know, it may smell good at first. But, you know, there's literally blending factors that have to be taken into consideration and stuff like that. So when I learned you can't just put things together and expect things to be like magical, it's literally, you have to know what you're doing. You have to know the science behind it. You have to know the reasons behind why certain things can't go together, the reason why things do go together. And, you know, even when it comes to women who are pregnant, you know, that is a special, there are special guidelines for that. But if you don't know that there are special guidelines for that, you can give them the wrong thing and, like, you know, it will be bad for the baby. Like birch, or which is like very good for pain relief, but it's good for pain relief, and a lot of times pregnant women are in pain, but if you give that to a pregnant woman, it could cause a miscarriage. So it's like there are certain things that you don't want to, you know, induce in certain people. So there are definitely guidelines, and, you know, that's why I believe it's like a legit science to actually blending and, you know, making these things.
I mean, it definitely is, because you're citing, you know, oils that I've never heard about. Like, I've never heard of an Ylang Ylang in my life. And so when you're talking about, you know, certain ages and certain things can't be mixed with other things, it's like, for the common person, you can't just turn the bottle around and say, oh, you know, this is what's in it, so this is what I should stay away from. It's like you're really kind of putting your trust into the individual who's mixing these oils and mixing these butters and these other beauty agents, in a sense, to really know what they're doing, you know, when they're putting these things out on the market.
Absolutely.
Interesting. So I will say, you know, so at that same event that I met you at Shay's book release, I did purchase some of your items. And I will say that I've been using them pretty much on a daily basis since I've purchased them from you. So what, it was since March, I guess. So it's about, we're going to be going on like a month and a half almost. And I will say that I've actually enjoyed them. The only one that I haven't used, and I told you about it, was the face oil. So pretty much, for those of you who don't know, I had purchased a body butter, which was really good. I purchased the body oil that you had, and I had purchased the hair oil, and then it was this face oil. So what I've been actually doing with the body butter, I actually add a little bit of the body oil to it, like a couple of drops, and then I mix it together, and then I kind of use that all over my body.
Okay, that's yeah.
Yeah, and the hair oil I really like. I use it especially in the front of my hair, because that's where I feel like I need the most assistance. Like, my hair is very fine in the front. So I've been using that, but I still can't use the face oil. I have very oily skin, and so I'm kind of
okay. Yeah, so I would have to formulate. So there are different oils that are good for oily skin. There are different oils that are good for dry skin, and there are different oils that are good for skin that is in between, that is like mixed. So with my oils, hold on, let me get my my book.
There's a book?
I have a textbook that has, like, you know, very good information regarding to, you know, the different dilutions, what kind of oils are good for which skin type, which for pregnancy, for men, for women. It's it's very good. So let me turn to the index and go to skin.
And so what you're saying is that there are actually certain face oils that go well with people who have oily skin?
Yes. Because some oils are closest to the way the skin is actually supposed to be, and some oils are just very nourishing.
So with applying these oils to your face, is it something you do at nighttime? Is it something you actually do in the morning and leave your house? Do you apply it and then wash it off?
So I've made a nighttime serum, and I've made a daytime serum, because some serums, you know, some oils you should use at nighttime.
Okay.
But and sometimes I'll use certain essential oils that are good that are not supposed to be used in sunlight, mm-hmm. like the oils.
Okay.
They're not. They're photosynthesizers, which means that when in contact or with the sun, it can cause, you know, some damage to your skin. So that's why certain face serums, you gotta be careful so that they don't have certain citrus oils that are photosynthesizers okay. that you use during the daytime.
Is that what causes discoloration in some people's face?
It could be one reason as to why.
Mm-hmm.
It could be also being the colon telling them something.
Interesting. So as you're looking for that information, if you could just tell us a little bit about the name. How did you come up with the name Temple Essentials?
Yes. So Temple Essentials, I had so many different names.
Another woman again?
Oh, nah.
This is all you.
Nah, that's funny. When I first started looking for names, I was, because, you know, I grew up SDA,
mm-hmm.
and one of the verses that was, I guess, very influential to me was Exodus 25:8, I believe, which says, you know, that they shall make me a sanctuary and I shall dwell among them. So I wanted to make something that reflected the idea that, you know, the Most High is dwelling within them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So like being that, you know, our bodies are the temples of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit and stuff like that. I wanted to have a title that would, you know, kind of reflect that in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking for different names. I forgot the other names at this point. But one name that came to mind that really stuck with me was like Temple Essentials. And the motto for it was like, you know, you have the temple, we have the essentials. And it wasn't only supposed to be like a skincare thing. It was more so to be something like holistic, incorporating mm-hmm. the mind, the body, and the spirit. You know what I mean? So it's not just pertaining to skincare. It's also pertaining to, like, you know, exercise. Also, you know, the spiritual aspect of a person, because a lot of times, you know, that is neglected in a lot of, you know, people, in a lot of so-called routines that people have these days. You know,
mm-hmm.
they just think, you know, it's all, you know, what they do externally, but it's very it's a partial process if it's just done with things that you're applying on the outside. You know, if you're not, you know, nourishing the spiritual body, that's a problem.
No, definitely.
So Temple Essentials was to be something that is holistic in its approach to dealing with individuals.
Okay. And how long has the business been around?
2016-17, but more so seriously starting like mid-2018.
Okay. And so could you describe, I know I talked about some of the items that I purchased from your line, but could you talk about, you know, the variety of products that you provide?
I have face oil, body butter. I have hair oils. I actually made a blend for pregnant women recently because I had to give somebody hair oil. They wanted a hair oil for at their baby shower. So I formulated something for pregnant women. So a hair oil for pregnant women, a hair oil for just natural hair.
Mm-hmm.
And also a hair oil for like alopecia and like hair loss. So that I'm kind of working on that right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting into face scrubs. Also, I'm getting into mask as well. I kind of made face scrub / mask at the same time. And I'm seeing how it works. I mean, it's working pretty well on my skin. I need other people to like test it on because, you know, I'm not the end all be all.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, that's great. And so where can people find your products?
People could find my products directly through me, or they can go on Instagram and follow me at TEMPLE, Temple, ESSNTLS.
Okay, cool.
They can find me there, and it'll be, and they order pretty much directly from me. Everything's made to order, so it's not something that, you know, because being that they're natural,
mm-hmm.
the shelf life is not as long, and I'm still looking for, like, the best natural preservative to actually put into the products, some of the products, so that it can last a little longer. Because okay. The body butters don't have any mind. I have no mind. I don't mind it being out for too long because the butters, they can last for quite a time. The beard balms, which I've also forgot to mention, the beard balm and beard oil, they can last pretty long time. Because for the wax, the balm, the wax is actually what keeps it lasting.
Okay. But with respect to the hair oils now, are you saying that they have a certain shelf life?
Yes. It's going to last depending on if I put in like barrage oil, which has a lower shelf life than many of the other oils, it'll last up to like, 6 months or so.
Okay.
And by that time, you should have used it by then.
I'm glad that I asked you about that because I don't think that people know that there is a shelf life to essential oils, because there are people who have maybe had that same tea tree oil for like the last 6 years. Right. You know, and so I think that's really important to highlight that there is a shelf life to your, you know, to these body butters and to these natural oils especially. And I'm only saying that because apparently I'm an offender. I think the other day I definitely did see my tea tree oil and I'm like, I don't remember what year I bought you.
There is a shelf life for all the essential oils. And you want to also look at the yield came about.
Mm-hmm.
And you also look at, you know, the time it was, I guess, processed. So then you can like then use within like 2 years or so. Like I bought coconut oil and cocoa butter years ago, and I still kind of had some left. And I'm like, let me look at the expiration date, mm-hmm. see how. And I'm like, this only lasted for like two years or so. And I'm like, man, this is not safe to use. I'm not going to use this anymore.
I want to ask, what is the consequence though of using an oil or like a body butter or something like that past its shelf life? Like, is there actually a consequence?
And when something goes rancid, it's not in the best quote, for lack of a better phrase, best shape that it can be in.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're dealing with oils, you always want to get the ones that are most nourishing or the most potent in with the properties that it has. So being that it would go over time, the properties would diminish. If something is past its expiration date, you're getting little to zero amount of the properties that would actually be beneficial to you. So you're pretty much just using like I would say placebo.
I see.
Or
it's just grease at that point.
Yeah. It's just grease.
Ah, I see. Yeah, sometimes we don't think about these things. And we're just like, you know, we're holding on to products for so long. And it's like, no, we're going to keep the coconut oil for 5 years and not realize that it might not really be giving us anything except for just the extra grease.
Yeah.
So I know that you say that you're in aromatherapy school. Are you thinking about coming out with like an aroma, you know, therapy line of some sort?
It's because when it comes to essential oils, it is a lot of money in it, but it's also expensive, and it's the process is very tedious, and I have to consider that because you can't really play with these oils.
I'm asking for selfish reasons. As a professional woman of color living in America, stress is a real thing. And so I find that these aroma, you know, scents, these aroma therapy oils, a lot of times they're very calming, like lemongrass. I love lemongrass. Lavender is calming, but I find that if you use too much oil, it becomes a nuisance almost. So,
let me say something about that too. So I was in class and they were talking about it. Like, yeah, sometimes lavender might, you know, allow me, like, might wake me up. And the professor was pretty much saying that, you know, if you use too much of it, it's no longer like a sedative because of how potent it is,
mm-hmm.
and wakes you up. Or the type of lavender that you're actually using can be like counterproductive. In a sense, like you're trying to go to sleep, but like you have all the energy in the world because
What do you mean by the type of lavender, though? Is there more than one lavender?
Yeah, there's... let me go to the page. So you have a lavandin, which is a different type of... it comes from the same plant, though. Mm-hmm. But it's lavandula times intermedia, which means that it's probably in the intermediate. It's not the full yield of the actual plant. Mm-hmm. You have lavandula augustifolia, which is mostly the common lavender essential that you have in aromatherapy stores. Mm-hmm. And you have lavender spike, which is lavandula latifolia, which is a different type of lavender. So it's like, you know, there are different types of some of the same essential oils. The same with eucalyptus and the same with rosemary. There are six types of rosemaries. And, you know, usually when you go to the store, it just says the botanical name, rosemary officinalis and stuff like that. Whereas, you know, there are six different types. And the one that's actually safe and better for skin and hair is the verbenone chemotype.
Interesting.
And then you have the ones that are good for like respiratory issues, which is the 1-8-cineol, which is a chemical property within the rosemary within itself, which is more potent in that type of rosemary than the verbenone. So it's like different essential oils may have more than one type, or like, you know, rosemary has six, lavender, or ylang-ylang, it has different types of yields. So they have the final, you have the extra, and you have the complete. So it's just like different essential oils may have variations to them.
This has definitely gotten much deeper than I thought it was. Because I'm thinking, you know, rosemary, tea tree, sage, we have like, you know, these common oils that we hear about that we purchase from stores or people on the street. But this sounds much more, you know, much more convoluted than I ever would have expected. You know, that there are six different types of rosemaries that might have different purposes or whatever the case is. And so it just goes back to that original point that it really is important to actually get your stuff from reputable people who actually know what they're doing and how they're mixing.
Yeah.
But I do want to ask, so this is like, we've talked about this ylang-ylang thing like two or three times. What exactly is ylang-ylang oil and what is it good for? Like, why would one, you know, want that in their mix?
Okay, so ylang-ylang. So it's an herb. It's a flower. And it's actually good. Like, I'm going to read some of the therapeutic uses of it.
Okay.
It's good for hypertension, circulation, muscular cramps, menstrual cramps, intestinal spasm, insomnia. It's also, which is a fun fact, and I kind of put it in some of my, I put it in the hair oils for the women, because, you know, women love to smell good, and women love to have that alluring effect, and, or correct me if I'm wrong, I don't want to speak, you know, falsely here, but it is also an aphrodisiac for women.
Okay.
It has.
You hear that, fellas? we don't need to spike drinks anymore. Just get you some along.
Right. It's also an antidepressant too.
Oh.
It's a stick, antispasmodic, is a calmative, is a nervine, so it does, you know, affect the nervous system in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sedative, and also, like I said before, it's a scalp tonic, so it's actually good for the hair.
So in terms of it being an antidepressant, in what form would you use it? Is like, would you sniff it? Like, how would
There are nebulizers, which are like, you know, these diffusers, but you don't, it's not a diffuser, but I'm comparing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a diffuser, but you don't add any water to it. Because then again, you got to realize, you know, water and oil does not mix. So. Mm-hmm. Diffusers, I gotta look back into it, because I don't know how I messed it, like water and oil doesn't mix, so I don't know how it's actually as effective as they say it is.
Mm-hmm.
But nebulizers, you put like a couple of drops and you let it, you know,
run. Okay.
You let it run for like 10 minutes and like the room is, you know, it's enough for the room to be saturated with the essential oil in of itself. So the the smell from the actual essential oil, it goes into like the olfactory part of our face. This is like bad anatomy. But there are, it's also connected to the mind or the brain. And, you know, when it goes through that that canal or that olfactory space, if you look at the anatomy of it, it sends signals to the brain for whatever it's sending. You know, so being that it's like antidepressant, if you're feeling down, it'll send that signal up like, yo, you need to chill, you need to calm down. It's a nervine, it's a calmative, so it'll chill you out. Okay. So being that you're smelling the essential oil, so you can use a nebulizer to saturate a room, or you can use like a inhaler, which we do make here as Temple Essentials, but it's not a hot, tamale, but you know, we do make them. Do know how? So you just use the inhaler, and contrary to part, you don't just pass it by your nose for like a couple of seconds. So you really just like smell it for like about 3 minutes.
We did talk about this inhaler, actually. I don't know. There's another name for it, I think, that my friend used. But I remember asking you about one in the lemongrass scent. Like, because I felt like I needed... So my friend had this. She got it from an apothecary upstate. And she basically, it kind of looks like a chapstick. She just takes off the top. She sniffs it a little bit. And then it kind of like reduces her stress. It calms her down and all that. And so I haven't really seen this item in any like stores. But I am very interested in getting my hands on one of those things. Is that something that you could create? Or I guess that's what you call an inhaler?
Yeah. So the way it looks... You know, you remember the Vicks thing that's in the pharmacies, and you just put it in your nose?
Yeah.
That's literally how it looks like. Ah. Like the little missile looking thing.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be DMing you my order.
Sweet.
Oh. So I guess, you know, as one thing that came to mind is, so we're in this era now where everybody's, you know, becoming natural, everybody's engaging in self-love, they're, you know, becoming vegans, they're taking better care of themselves, they're exercising, all this other stuff. And so do you find that the essential oil movement, because I call it a movement because a lot of people are actually getting into essential oils right now. I mean, you're in the business, obviously, but for me on the outside, I feel like it's becoming like a hot topic. It's part of that like get healthy movement. Do you find that this is a fad, though? Do you think that maybe in a couple of years, people will kind of move away from it and, you know, it'll die like, every, you know, like all trends do?
For those who are really interested in it now, but for the general population, perhaps, just like with veganism, like I was talking to my bro the other day, or it was yesterday, and, we were just saying like this whole veganism becoming very popular is kind of like, it's no longer genuine anymore because people are just coming out with things and you're no longer eating real food anymore. You're eating like all this processed stuff that is an off, like a offshoot of like meat or something like that, like the Impossible Burger or Beyond Burger or Beyond Burger patties. And over time, you're like, man, this stuff is not as good as people are really saying it is, you know. So with the up and coming rise of like, you know, essential oils and like, you know, self care, there are going to be a lot of synthetic brands that are going to come out that are like, you know, promoting such things, but it may not be as, you know, legit as they promote themselves, because a lot of, you know, a lot of companies are mass marketing.
Yeah. And then from how you explained it, you're out here actually grinding things together and you know, actually have a whole little manufacturing plant in your house.
Yeah. So it's just like, I hope it's not a fad, but then realistically speaking, like it might be in the future because of how just society moves.
Okay.
And how capitalism works and how, you know, just these industries work and move, you know, all these companies coming up with vegan options. It's like, come on, let's be serious. Because that's what's in right now. That's what's going to come out.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And so I find, I mean, this, just this call alone, I feel like I've been educated so much on essential oils. I mean, I've always used them to some extent, whether it be more so for hair, I would say. I wouldn't say that I was really into essential oils for this, for like my actual skincare regime.
Yeah.
But for the hair, you know, I always knew that certain oils promoted hair growth and whatnot. And, you know, being natural, especially, you want to make sure that you have the right types of oils that go with your texture, etc. So I've definitely, you know, been, I guess, somewhat educated in that particular realm. But I will say that this is definitely much more information than I would ever think, you know, much more involved. It's this process, I guess, of essential oils, it's much more involved than I would ever think. Now, are you doing any type of like educational talks or anything like that to kind of educate people on essential oils, the necessary, I guess the necessity rather of using them. And just some of the stuff you said today, like certain oils can't be mixed and they have adverse reactions and whatnot. Have you ever thought about, you know, going into some sort of realm where you're educating people on these things?
Yeah, I'm actually considering doing stuff like that. Like, I know there's a Black Veg Fest coming up, and my friend told me just be a presenter at this event. Mm-hmm. It's free to become a presenter, so why not do it? And I was trying to figure out what should I present on. I'm like, oh, essential oils. Let me just present on the 6 different types of rosemaries, because I feel like nobody knows that. There's like,
it's the first time I heard it.
I was sitting in class and I'm like, man, this rosemary is super strong. And then this lady comes out with a second type. I'm like, oh, what do you do?
Magic. Witchcraft.
What is this verbanon? What is that? What is this? So when I saw that, according to the textbook, it was like 6 different types, I was like, whoa. And then when it came to eucalyptus, or like peppermint in of itself being a dermal irritant, and how you shouldn't use peppermint on children, I was like, what?
I learned that. I learned the peppermint thing the hard way, because again, you know, we're in these streets, we're just buying stuff, we're going to the oil shop. And I, you know, I was like, oh, there's peppermint in some of my hair products. So I'm like directly applying peppermint to my scalp. And I was like, what is going on here? Yeah. Same thing with lavender. I was like pouring lavender all over my pillows because I suffer from like, you know, sleep deprivation. And then That's how I realized, I'm like, this is way too strong. Like, this is not, this doesn't, I mean, I felt like I was getting sick. That's how strong the lavender oil was. But again, right, I just walked into some random shop and bought it. I have no idea which type of lavender they gave me.
You gotta, when you're buying essential oils, that's another thing too. When you're buying essential oils, you want to look at the common name and then the botanical name. So like for lavender, it will be lavender. But then in parentheses, it will also say, in italics, or, you know, if they so choose to follow that guideline, mm-hmm, Lavandula augustifolia.
So that means if I'm buying essential oils from a shop that doesn't have labels on their bottles, I should run away.
Unless you could talk to them like, yo, where do you source these? And get the, there's a type of sheet that you should kind of ask them for, like the GCMS, which is like some type of, it's like a data sheet in which like what is contained within this essential oil, mm-hmm, what is, when was it processed, when it should be, when it shouldn't be used anymore, and stuff like that. So it has all that detail. If they cannot provide you with the GCMS sheet, then more than likely you should not buy from that vendor or buy from that person.
So what I'm getting from this conversation is that I'm just going to be DMing Temple Essentials for all my essential oil needs.
Facts. You should.
That's what that sounds like to me.
It sounds like a very good plan.
So where are you? So pretty much like you said, we can DM you to get the, to put in orders and whatnot. And I know you were saying that you make them, you know, from scratch. You don't, you know, you don't just have them sitting around. So if I wanted to DM you for a body butter or for a hair oil, how many days or weeks in advance do I need to put in this request?
So I would say just give me like a week. Because when I do make, if it's made, like when it's made to order, sometimes I do consultations, which is charged, you know. Mm-hmm. Do charge consultations, you know. Brother got to get, you know.
Listen.
Gotta pay for rent. You know. So I kind of had to find out what, you know, particularly the person may need. Mm-hmm. But if it's just a generally you want a body butter and stuff like that, you know, about 5 days, you know, including shipping. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes what I would do, like, for example, for the alopecia blend that I did, I made the essential oil blend and I let it sit for like 5 days so that mm-hmm. it can synergize. So it can pretty much mix together very well. And then the scent is also going to change as well, because over time they blend better. So after doing that, you know, I'll make the product and then boom, it's good to go.
Okay.
So like, you know, I'd say give me like a good 5 days.
Okay.
So this was definitely a very interesting conversation. I didn't expect it to be so educational. Like, I actually am a bit shocked at some of the things that I learned today. Feel like I'm looking at these essential oils that I have here that I did not get from you. And I'm like, I don't even know who you are or what you are. It's like, you know, a lot of people don't really show this type of process. They'll show them, you know, whipping some butter. They won't actually show this process of infusion and what it really takes to even create these oil blends.
Right. And like, yeah. This infusion is going to be here for like a month. So,
yeah, I definitely commend you for this work, because I was like, it would not be me.
it takes a lot of patience. Mm-hmm. And like, that's what you kind of want from your products. Because like, eat food, you want to make sure like it was really thought out and there's an intention behind mm-hmm. the food or the dish or the product itself.
Yeah. And so what do you think is next then for Temple Essentials? What do you see next?
I'm gonna come out with I wasn't really trying to say this to anybody.
I mean,
but
we're all about exclusives here on According to RP, so
so I'm actually thinking about coming up with a line to change the narrative, actually, when it comes to beauty. Okay. So I'm not going to say what the name of the line is going to be yet.
Right. We won't go that far. But when you're releasing it, though, I'm going to be the first to know, right?
Oh, that's that. So it's going to be a line that kind of redefines, you know, the standard of beauty and pretty much giving back people the concept, the power of that concept within their mind, within themselves. So okay. It's just like giving back to the people what has been taken away from us from social constructs and, like, you know, societal pressure and ideals of beauty. So
okay, I love it. So we are coming to the end of the show, and I just want to thank you again for taking the time to educate us. This was really good, and I feel like people are really going to be able to take something from this conversation, because, I mean, a lot of people are involved in, you know, are interested at least really in the essential oils and the aromatherapies. And, you know, people are, you know, steering away from the Jergens of the world and are now actually going into the body butters and the body oils. So this definitely, I think, was a great conversation. And I always like highlighting entrepreneurs of Haitian descent, especially on the show. So everyone, Temple Essentials, if you can tell us one more time, Hervé, where can we find you on social media?
So you can find me on social media on Instagram, TEMPLEESSNTLS.
All right, great. And for those of you, for whatever reason, you did not catch that, just send me a DM at According to RP, and I will make sure that I contact Hervé for you.
I mean, I want the Gmail, too. We have an email as well.
Oh, go ahead. Drop the Gmail.
So the Gmail is TMPLESNTLS@gmail.com.
All right. So with that being said, everyone, it is a wrap for this show. Thank you again, Hervé, for being part of this was a great conversation, but just, you know, availing yourself to this.
I'm so glad, you know, it's always great to, like, you know, showcase, you know, the herbs that were made to service man, you know, by the creator. So I really take into consideration and take that wholeheartedly. Like, these herbs are here for a reason. And when it comes to healing, a lot of people could, you know, benefit from them. You know, that's the most I gave to us for that reason. And I feel like, why not use it for, you know, servicing my fellow humans.
Definitely.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, of course. And I definitely will have you on the show again because I want updates on the line.
Yes.
Definitely want updates on the line. So yes, guys, thank you again for tuning in to another episode of According to RP on WJMS, and we will talk to you next week.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Thursday.
I can't wait to come back.
7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
It's all online.
WJMSradio.com.
Download the new app.
Live 365. Listen to the show anywhere.
Anytime.
Download.